Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Jose State University Doctoral Program in Educational Leadership, a new professional degree program offered for leaders in education. Accepting applications at sjsu.edu/edd.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A former child model has filed multiple lawsuits against a number of Hollywood icons, including the director of X-Men, claiming he was sexually exploited when he was young and that he wasn't the only victim. The California Report's LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas has more.
The accuser, Michael Egan, claims he was coerced into taking drugs and having sex with multiple men in the late 1990s when he was still a teenager. Egan claims he and other boys were promised TV and movie roles in exchange. He alleges the abuse occurred at parties in Hawaii and the L.A. area, hosted and attended by numerous Hollywood power players, including director Bryan Singer. Singer is named in a lawsuit filed last week in Hawaii. An attorney for the director called the allegations a fabrication and says he plans to sue for malicious prosecution. Lawsuits filed Monday named three additional alleged abusers, including former Fox executive Garth Ancier, one-time Disney television president David Newman, and designer Gary Goddard.
Kids come here, they want to be in the business, and they're told the way to make it in this business is you gotta play this game.
Michael Egan's attorney, Jeff Herman, said the alleged abusers preyed on young boys who were hoping to break into the movie business, not unlike the so-called casting couch that dates back to the earliest days of Hollywood.
It's very similar, except when children are involved, it's vile. And it's illegal.
Michael Egan, who's now 31, says he reported the abuse to his mother, who then contacted authorities, but it's unclear if the allegations were ever investigated.
Somebody has to stand up to these people. Victims of these individuals or other individuals that are out there from childhood sexual abuse that have been abused by others, come forward.
A representative for Gary Goddard says his office has not seen the complaint and cannot comment on the allegations, though they appear to be without merit. Garth Ancier and David Newman could not immediately be reached for comment. Attorney Jeff Herman says additional lawsuits against other alleged abusers could be filed. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
Later today in Fresno's Superior Court, a constitutional challenge to the county's new ban on medical marijuana cultivation. The ban went into effect in February, and soon after, sheriff's deputies ordered a medical marijuana card holder from Manteca to remove 43 plants she was growing in her mom's backyard and levied a fine of $43,000. County supervisors authorized a tax lien against the property. The plaintiff's attorney argues the ordinance is incoherent, inconsistent with state guidelines, and that the fines are excessive. The Fresno Bee quotes one county supervisor saying litigation was expected, and the fines are proportional to the price of pot on the black market. Managing diabetes is tough. Managing it on a limited income, even tougher. Keeping your blood sugar level involves eating healthy food, and that's not always easily available or affordable in poor neighborhoods. Kenny Goldberg of KPBS tells us about a program in San Diego designed to help people in just this situation survive and thrive.
It's an hour before showtime at the Special Delivery San Diego Food Pantry. Clients are already lined up outside the door. Inside, volunteers are going through their last-minute preparations. While some volunteers load in cases of food, Lauren Ponder sorts through today's boxes of donated produce. There are tangerines, green beans, and all sorts of other stuff.
It's unpredictable what the grocery stores will give you, so sometimes there's a lot of mush and things too, so we gotta like take that out, send it out to the trash, and then just make it like a grocery store for the homeless people.
The pantry shelves are stocked with canned goods. There's a refrigerator freezer filled with dairy products and frozen meat, and there are trash bags crammed with loaves of bread. All of the produce and most of the staple foods are donated by big chain stores. There's one section of the pantry with special foods that had to be purchased.
Well, these are foods that are non-perishable, and they're available for the diabetics. So we have low-sodium V8, we have whole grain cereal, we have brown rice, whole grain pastas, that type of thing.
Ruth Hendricks started the diabetic pantry a few months ago. It's one of only four in the United States. Hendricks has owned and operated a diner called the Huddle Restaurant for more than 25 years. Hendricks opened the pantry next door 5 years ago to help San Diegans who need food assistance. Over the years, she noticed many of her clients were overweight or obese. Those are two of the risk factors for diabetes. Recently, Hendricks asked clients if they were diabetic.
And we found 2 out of 10 who were coming to shop at our pantry had diabetes.
Over the last 30 years, the number of Americans with diabetes has more than tripled. The CDC estimates more than 237,000 people in San Diego County have the condition. Statewide, 1 in 7 California adults has diabetes. And research shows the poor have the highest risk of the disease. Mary Redd, who uses a pantry, was diagnosed with diabetes in 1998. She says it's tough to constantly watch what you eat.
Because a lot of times you have to balance and weigh and certain things that you can't eat and certain things you can't. I know like a lot of starchy foods, a lot of sweet, a lot of juices.
Next, please. All right, you know the routine.
The food from the diabetic pantry is reserved for people like Red. All of it is low calorie, low sodium, and sugar free. But Ruth Hendricks says handing out healthy foods to people with diabetes is only the first step.
Now what do I do with it? You know, how do I prepare this? And so we need to have somebody show them. And how do you put together good, nutritious meals that are still fairly inexpensive? Vegetarian chili, beans, tomatoes are great for people. And so we're concentrating on that. So it's also making sure that we have menus available for the people as they come in and shop.
Hendricks plans to start a monthly cooking and nutrition class for her diabetic clients. Rosemary Jaworski is one of the volunteers who's helping Hendricks with the diabetic pantry. She's a longtime nurse and a diabetic herself. Jaworski says it's not easy for anyone to change their habits, let alone people with diabetes.
It takes time to make changes and to forgive ourselves when we can't make those changes rapidly. It takes time. And if it's just building your relationship with quinoa for the next couple of months and expanding your palate, I think then we've done something.
About 450 people visit the pantry once a month. Of those, 30 clients have registered for the diabetic pantry, and they're being encouraged to spread the word. For the California Report, I'm Kenny Goldberg in San Diego.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, April 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the California Endowment. Health happens when everyone, including undocumented Californians, has access to preventive health care. Learn more at calendow.org.